Check 1, 2, we're on. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Morning. It's nice to see all your smiling faces. It's a joke. Let's all start by singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You'll have to sing it extra loud now because I won't be able to hear you with your mask on, so sing louder.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Light in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hailed incarnate as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give a second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen. We'll call on Joe.
Morning. Welcome here. So I've had the privilege of wearing one of these since June, 8 hours a day. I'll give you some tips. Number one, if you chew mint gum, it blows it right in your eyes. So don't do that. If you didn't brush your teeth, you're the only one that gets punished. And if you want it to smell good all day, you can put a little bit of peanut butter on the inside. Smells pretty good for most of the day. Maybe next Sunday I'll bring some more, but three for today is good. All right, let's go to our bulletin for a second. There is a couple items we should highlight here. One is the silent auction. That will be completed by next Sunday. So I don't know if you saw the room at the when you first walked in to the right, there's some silent auction items in there. Take a peek in there and place your bids. Item number two is the food hamper, which we did announce last Sunday. That is a joint venture between Little Red River Cree Nation and YWAM. You can see that in your bulletin as well, and that will be done December 21st as the pickup date. So there is some suggested items in there you can see as well for donating. Third one, Christmas Eve service. So December 24th, 7 p.m. If you are looking to do a special number for the Christmas Eve service, please contact Esther Ford. All right, the next few, we'll have Marcus come up to do an announcement, and then Pastor Don will do one as well, and then we'll go right into the Advent.
This week in my Bible reading plan, came across Romans 13. I'll read verses 1 to 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one who is in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe them taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So I just wanted to go through some of the new restrictions that came in place this week and what that means to us as a church. Number one is that there is a 15% occupancy limit according to our fire code. For this church, for the main sanctuary, the balcony, and the Sunday school overflows, that is about 110 people. We will consider multiple services or putting a feed, like an audio or a video feed, down into the basement if we need to. We have to maintain physical distancing between households, including after the service. So please do your best, especially with the kids. I know that's difficult. Mask use is mandatory, except if you are on stage by yourself. Congregational singing is still allowed, so don't let the mask keep you from singing. Groups can continue to meet here at the church as long as those guidelines are followed. So that includes youth, Bible studies, small groups. And these are going to be in place until at least January 12th, 2021. So please do your best to follow those, and thank you.
Well, Christmas is almost here, and the Sunday right after Christmas, the 27th, the Alberta Parkland District of the Free Church is going to be doing a virtual service, and they're putting together music and so on from different churches, and they're inviting us to join in, and so we are going to, on that Sunday, instead of hearing me preach or our worship teams and so on, they will... We'll be sitting watching it up front there. And so our participation, what Don Harder called and asked us to do, is he'd like us to have someone that would do a two-minute testimony. You don't share it on that Sunday. Very soon you'd have to come, and we pre-record it, and we send it in. And then they work that into the mix of that. So it can be a testimony, this past year of something God has done in your life, maybe how COVID has affected you or what God has taught you through it. It can be on something totally else. It can be your hope for this next year. But just a very short two-minute testimony. If you always wanted to share your testimony but you're afraid to do so in front of the group, this is your chance to share it all by yourself, and then it'll be played in front of the group. So it makes it much easier. And so you don't have much time to think about that, because he wants me to phone him back this afternoon and tell him whether I found someone. And so you have during the service to think about it, and then after the service, if you would talk to me, Ben is going to remind you at the end of the service. But if during the service God is just nudging you to share your testimony, come and talk to me, and we'll arrange to get that record it, and we'll send that in. So I encourage someone. There's got to be someone here that would just love to have this opportunity to praise God through a two-minute testimony.
the things we get for Christmas will not last as long as the things we get from Christmas. We will finish our Christmas treats, get bored of our Christmas toys, and grow out of our Christmas clothes. But the things you get from Christ this Christmas and always, hope, peace, joy, and love, will go with us all our life.
Why do we light the Advent candles?
The Advent candle is a candle of hope. Jesus is our hope. He died on the cross to save us and give us everlasting life. The light of hope that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out.
We light this candle for hope.
The second candle is the candle of peace. Jesus is our peace. His peace is deep within us, reaches out to friends and strangers, and brings justice to our world.
We light this candle for peace.
The third candle is the candle of joy. The miracle of Christmas is that even though there is so much sadness in the world, the joy of Christ Jesus, Christ deep within us, can help us reach out to the sad, the suffering, and the lonely.
We light this candle for joy.
So how many kids out there are counting down the days till Christmas? Oh, a few. Who knows how many days till Christmas? Anybody? I counted this morning, I counted 12. Is that what you guys counted? Well, Christmas is Jesus' birthday, right? Who here likes birthday parties? Me too. When I was growing up, when it was close to my birthday, my mom had the calendar on the wall. And every day I would take my pen and mark off the next day till my birthday. And my mom had this very special birthday cake book, and we would look through the pages and try and decide which birthday cake we wanted. I always chose the one with the most candy on it, because that was the best one, I thought. Well, pretty soon it's Jesus' birthday, and I'm counting down to his birthday too. But sometimes I get so very busy. I start doing Christmas baking and decorating and buying presents, and I think of all the fun I'm gonna have, and I forget about Jesus on his birthday. So this morning, I have a way for us to remember Jesus on his birthday. Does anybody know what this is? Candy, yes! It's M&M's. Well, you guys can't see M&M's very well from down there. I have a giant one here this morning. Now, if I hold it like this, it's an M, right? And then I turn it, and it becomes an E, and then a W, and then a 3. the M becomes a W, an E, and a 3. It tells the Christmas story. I'm sure it's one you know. It took place in a stable a long, long time ago. The E is for the east, where the star shone oh so bright. The M is for the manger, where Jesus laid his head that night. The 3 is for 3 wise men, bearing gifts they say he came. And W is for worship. Hallelujah, praise his name. So when you eat some M&Ms or share them with a friend, remember Jesus at Christmas and never let it end.
Sing the candle song to Away in a Manger.
A candle is burning, a flame warm and bright, a candle of hope in November's dark night, while angels sing blessings from heaven's starry sky. Our hearts we prepare now, for Jesus is nigh. A candle is burning, a candle of peace, a candle to signal that conflict must cease. For Jesus is coming to show us the way, the message of peace come be laid in the A candle is burning, a candle of joy, a candle to welcome Mary's poor boy. Our hearts filled with wonder, a light of soul, as joy brightens winter like sunshine on snow.
Amen. Let's all stand as we sing Glorious Impossible.
See the virgin is delivered in a cold and crowded stall. Mirror of the Father's glory lies beside her in the straw. He is mercy incarnation, marvel at this miracle. For the gently holds the glorious impossible. Love has come to walk on water, turn the water into wine, touch the leper, bless the children, love both human and divine. Of the Father who has spoken through his Son. Speaking still, he calls us to the glorious impossible. Hallelujah! 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 Glorious impossible. He was bruised for our transgressions, and he bears eternal scars. He was raised for our salvation, and his righteousness is ours. Praise, oh, praise him, praise the glory of this lavish grace so full. Lift your soul now and receive the glorious impossible.
A new song that we just learned, and talking about the light of the world, and I find with this mask it gives me an opportunity now to be a light in this world, even though it's something that I really didn't like to do, didn't like to wear. I've chosen to put some words on it: faith over fear, or Way, Truth, Life, John 14:6. And wherever I go, people see that and they read it and they say, oh, nice mask. And it's a witness. It's a witness to my faith in Christ. And even in these hard times, we can still find ways to bring blessing to this to this world and to bring light to this world. This song talks about being Jesus being the light of the world. Sing hallelujah. Light of the world, treasure of heaven, brilliant like the stars in the wintry sky. Joy of the Father, reach through the darkness, shine across the earth, send the shadows to fly. Light of the world, from the beginning, the tragedies of time were no match for your love. From great heights of glory, you saw my story. God, you entered in and became one of us. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah for the things he has done. Come and adore him, bow down before him, sing hallelujah to the light of the world, crowned in a manger, born for the cross, to suffer, to save. The high King of heaven, death is the poorer, we are the richer by the price that he paid. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He will lead us straight into glory, and there he shall reign forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah for the things he has done. Come and adore him, bow down before him, sing hallelujah.
We'll go to our time of scripture and prayer. You will notice there's a new section under call to prayer in your bulletin, and that is for schools. You'll see they've mentioned all the local schools, FLOMAC, Spirit of the North, Christian Academy, Public School, Learning Store, Northern Lakes College. We just want to take time to pray for the students and teachers that are there. So we'll make sure we add that to today. If you'll just bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity we have in Canada to learn, that we can get an education, that we can learn to read and write and be able to further ourselves on that level. We're just grateful for that. And I just want to pray for the Christian teachers and the students that are out there, that you would not only give them courage and strength to stand up for their faith, but to be a light to those around them, to be an encouragement, to be positive. And we just thank you that you've given us the opportunity that we can be a part of those circles, that we would just be a blessing where we're planted. And we just want to pray for our church families this week, for David and Anna Dick. We just thank you for their willingness to be involved in the church with song leading and behind the scenes. We just thank you so much for them. Pray that you would bless them this week. And we also want to pray for Eric and Leanne Dick and their family. We're just grateful for them, that they're just a blessing to the church. Pray that we can be an encouragement to them in return this week, and just for all the things they do behind the scene as well. Pray that you would just bless them for their efforts. We pray this in Jesus' name. All right, for scripture reading today, we will turn to Matthew 2. Matthew 2, we'll start at verse 1. We'll go down to verse 12. The Visit of the Wise Men. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen, when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. All right, today we have a message brought to us by a special speaker. We have Tim DeNelson doing the message. Originally, Don was supposed to be away to a wedding, but with the new COVID rules, he is still here. But Tim is doing the message for us. I think he's ready to go. Yep, all right.
A guy goes into the drugstore and asks the pharmacist for something to cure hiccups. Pharmacist leans forward, reaches across the counter, and just slaps the guy upside the head. "What did you do that for?" the guy asks. Pharmacist says, "You're not hiccuping anymore." "That's right." "Huh? That's the cure." Guy says, "I don't have the hiccups. It's my wife. She's out in the car." A friend of mine likes to say, if the world didn't suck, we'd all fall off. And I think he's right. This planet is a troubled place where tough times visit us all. But in the midst of this, I'm fascinated by people whose lives are marked by contagious, outrageous joy. Joy that doesn't make much sense. I've heard it in the laughter of inmates who have found that God loves and forgives them. I've seen it at the old folks' home I visit and in the smile of a friend with bone cancer. I've watched the peace on the faces of a resilient young couple with Job-like symptoms who are persevering amidst all kinds of tragedy. I've seen them laugh. It's a laughter that circumstances cannot limit. You have people like that in your life, I suspect, don't you? But let me ask you something. If you had to pick out just one characteristic that lies at the heart of a healthy laugh, what would you say? Medication? Think about it. When I was 10, two famous people visited our home. The first was an internationally recognized speaker who was performing nearby. I'm not going to give you his name, but during a roast beef dinner in our house, he groused for a miserable hour about the squeaky bed hotel they had placed him in. how bad the weather was, the fact that his watch had stopped, and he picked at his roast like someone had pulled it from the compost. My wife, or my wife wasn't alive at the time, or certainly wasn't my wife, but my mother was less than impressed. Thankfully, someone else showed up a few months later. In fact, she stayed the weekend in our home. I was asked to abdicate my room so the skilled surgeon would have a place to stay. I wasn't pleased about this because I was going to miss my styrofoam bed. I had no idea that a movie was being made about her life, and her books were selling briskly. But Dr. Helen Rosevere gratefully gobbled a meager ham sandwich at our table and thanked me repeatedly for her humble accommodations. A 10-year-old kid rarely attends church willingly, but her story so captivated me that I skipped playing football with my friends to hear her speak. Raped twice during the Simba uprising in Africa's Congo, Dr. Rosevere had survived unspeakable horror, yet her words and attitude brought laughter to our home. What she showed me is the key to learning to laugh again, simple gratitude. It's a discipline that should daily replace our desire to grouse and whine. Some of us live in wine country, don't we? Thankful people would rather accept than analyze. They'd rather compliment than criticize. Helen Keller thanked God for her handicaps. Through them, she wrote, I have found myself, my work, and my God. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Psalm 100. It was written as a song of thanksgiving. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Such an attitude can change us today and bring joy to life. Gratitude is money we can print for ourselves and spend without fear of going bankrupt. Like magic, Thanksgiving turns a ham sandwich into an extravagant feast, a Timex into a Rolex, and a small boy into a lifelong fan. When I got my room back from Dr. Rosevere, two gifts sat atop my pillow, a kind note that I kept for years, wish I still had it, and $2, a veritable fortune for a 10-year-old kid.
Let's see if I can extract myself from my mask. All right. Good morning. When Ike asked me to preach, wasn't sure what to say right away. It was kind of a daunting thing, but I prayed about it. I thought about it for a while, and I thought, so here I am, and it feels very strange for me to be up here at the front of the church instead of at the back, at least for today. And so the theme for today, the third Sunday of Advent, is joy. In any ordinary year, I think today's message would have been much easier to prepare, since celebration and happiness are naturally central to the Christmas story and the birth of our Savior. This has not been an ordinary year. At this time last December, a lot of people, myself included, were probably looking forward to this year being a carefree year for planning for the future and making jokes about perfect vision with it being 2020. However, hindsight is 2020. Looking back, this year has turned out to be a very difficult one throughout the world, with nearly everyone's life being upended by COVID-19. The resulting disruptions to almost every part of our lives have left most of us to experience extra stress, anger, hardship, and even suffering. The Apostle Paul was something of an expert on the subject of suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives us his credentials. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. In spite of all of this, in 1 Thessalonians 5:15-18, Paul writes, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As Phil Calloway mentioned in the video that was played at the start of this message, being able to thank God no matter what happens, having an attitude of gratitude is a necessary ingredient to having a joy-filled life. Again, Paul repeats in Philippians 4:4, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. In fact, Paul uses the word joy or rejoice more than a dozen times in the letter to the Philippians, which he wrote while he was in jail. How can this be? How can we find joy in times of suffering and in hard times? Today I want to examine this concept of joy. What does our society think it is? How does the Bible define it? And what did Jesus say about it? And how can we find joy in difficult times? Marie Kondo is a popular professional organization who advises people to systematically go through their clothes, books, and other possessions and get rid of anything that doesn't spark joy. On her website, she describes this joy as being a little thrill, as if the cells in your body are slowly rising. She says that through the process of selecting only the things that inspire joy, you can identify precisely what you love and what you need. This is a very good example of what many people understand joy to be, that it's temporary, it's an emotion, it comes and goes. Although this is a pretty good definition of happiness, real joy is much more complicated. It doesn't depend on our circumstances or experiences or possessions. Last week, I came across an online blog post where the author asked 100 people representing a wide range of ages what they think joy is. One 5-year-old said, "Joy is chocolate milk in my tummy." A 74-year-old respondent said that joy is pure contentment. Joy is watching flowers bloom, a blue sky, the brightness of the sun, children smiling. And another 7-year-old boy, probably he was a boy, responded, "Joy is when I feel happy, when I'm with family and friends. Oh, and slime. Playing with slime makes me happy, because when I'm frustrated, I can play with slime and it makes me feel better." For me, joy is inside out. My kids would probably agree that playing with slime could be a great stress reliever. And this idea of joy coming from the inside to the outside brings us back to the Bible. Jesus says in John 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Therefore, if we surrender our lives to Jesus, follow his will for us, and share his love for others, he will give us joy, even in the midst of this pandemic. But what might this look like? When my wife Melanie was attending the High Level Christian Academy, students could receive what was called a Joy Award. Joy stood for Jesus, others, yourself. Kids could earn this award through various considerate acts that were above and beyond what was ordinarily expected, such as using their free time to help a classmate with their homework assignment. This progression of Jesus first, then others, and finally yourself is a good picture of how our lives should be ordered if we are to have true biblical joy. First, real joy comes from honoring Jesus. One of the most intense expressions of joy in the whole Bible comes from when the wise men leave Herod's palace and see that their guiding star has stopped over the place where Jesus is. Finally, their long journey, possibly of many months, is almost over, and they have found the king that they have been searching for so long. They are understandably overjoyed, as the NIV says, and as we heard in today's scripture reading. The Greek version of the New Testament typically uses just one word, or sometimes two words, to communicate joy. In this case, the Greek uses 4 words together, which literally mean a very large rejoicing joy. The Amplified Bible does a good job of capturing this intensity. When they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. That is a lot of joy. When they came into the house, the wise men fell down and worshiped Jesus for the king that he was and still is today. And then they honored Jesus by giving him their best gifts. What might be the lesson for us in this story? I suggest that we can experience the same joy as the wise men when we actively pursue to know Jesus more through prayer and through studying the Bible, and when we choose to honor him with our own gifts and abilities. This brings us to the second idea, that real joy comes from serving others. At the center of the ministry of our church is that we love others because God first loved us. In Mark 9:35, we find that Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." God gave his Son in our place so that we can have freedom from sin. One of the ways we can demonstrate our worship, gratitude, and honor to God is through joyfully serving others. The 19th century British theologian Charles Spurgeon describes well this relationship between joy and serving. "God is great and glorious, whatever we may be, and it is for our joy, our safety, our everlasting happiness that we should become his servants. It is necessary for the right ordering of our lives that our hearts must be in tune to the yield the music of joy, that we should be tuned by obedience to his will, and that we should learn to serve him." What then does serving others look like? In Philippians 2:1-5, Paul gives us a good picture of how we should relate to others and ourselves. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking only to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ." Serving others out of love for Jesus can look different for all of us, since we all have different talents, abilities, resources, and opportunities. But the outcome will be the same: joy. Thirdly, real joy comes from knowing that God is always in control. Although Jesus freely offers us his joy, he never promised us that we would be happy all the time. Worry and anxiety can still steal our joy. However, in John 16:33, Jesus acknowledges that in this world you will have trouble. But, he says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And he assures us that he will always be with us. A number of years ago, my mom had the privilege of staying at the home of Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch woman who has an amazing life story of faith and joy. In Corrie ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, she describes how she grew up in Holland in a family with a deep Christian faith, which helped them endure many hardships, including the death of Corrie's mother when she was just in her late 20s. This strong faith became especially important after the invasion and occupation of Holland by the Nazi forces in May 1940. Once they realized what the Nazis were doing to their Jewish friends and neighbors, Corrie and her family began to help hide and protect Jews from the Gestapo, the Nazi secret police. Eventually, the family was betrayed by an informant, and Corrie and her sister were eventually sent to Ravensbrück, which was the largest concentration camp for women in the territories controlled by Germany at that time. There, despite being horribly abused, the two sisters did not lose hope and continued having secret prayer services and showing God's love to others in the camp. Finally, as was the result of what was then called a clerical error, by the grace of God, Corrie was eventually released from the camp close to the end of the war. Tragically, though, her sister died in the prison camp, and not long after Corrie's release, all of the women in the camp of her own age were also killed. However, through all of this, her faith remained strong. From the 1950s to 1970s, she traveled to 64 countries speaking and preaching about the love and joy of Jesus Christ. Looking back on how she was able to keep a sense of joy and faith in the midst of all the suffering that she had endured, Corrie ten Boom wrote that, "When we are powerless to do a thing, it is a great joy that we can come and step inside the ability of Jesus." And she said, "Now I know in my experience that Jesus' light is stronger than the biggest darkness." In the same way, by realizing that God remains in control of all things, by finding our strength and our hope in him, we can find joy even in times of suffering and difficulty. Finally, real joy comes from the anticipation of heaven. Recently, I started reading through C.S. Lewis's book, Surprised by Joy, which is about his early life and how he became a Christian. In his book, C.S. Lewis suggests that a joy can be found in anticipation, that is, the hope of getting or regaining something good. He writes that, in his experience, joy is an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction, sharply distinguished both from happiness and from pleasure. As Pastor Don mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, joy is often interconnected with hope and peace. And Jesus was certainly familiar with this type of hopeful, anticipatory joy. During his time on earth, Jesus experienced extreme suffering, as prophesied by Isaiah, who wrote, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care." In spite of all of this, Jesus still had joy in obeying his Father's will, as well as the anticipation of the future joy that would come when he would finally complete his mission of salvation and return to heaven. This allowed Jesus to endure not only the pain of crucifixion, but also the greater pain of temporary separation from his heavenly Father as he was on the cross. Indeed, Hebrews 12 says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because Jesus has won the ultimate victory over sin and death, we can depend on him to be our source of confident joy and peace, even in times of uncertainty and difficulty, and even in the midst of this pandemic. Here is one more example. When we buy presents for each other at Christmas time, and we give money and food to people who need them, we have joy in anticipating the happiness that the person will get when they receive our gift. Jesus has promised us the infinitely greater gift of eternal life in heaven to everyone who trusts in him. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received in him, to them he gave the right to become God's children, to those who believed in his name." As we look forward to our heavenly home, as we strive to know and serve Jesus better, and as we trust that God is in control of all things, we can experience his joy, hope, peace in our lives, not only during this pandemic, but also throughout our lives and into eternity. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to save us so that we can experience the joy of forgiveness of sins and living in a right relationship with you. Thank you that you are always in control of all things, and that you offer us your joy and peace, even in these challenging times. Please give us the strength to live in a way that brings honor to you, and that reflects the joy that you give to us. Help us to trust and serve you faithfully, and to share your love and joy with everyone. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Let's stand as we sing "Joy to the World." Unspeakable. Their songs implore.
joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
With joy. And just a reminder, if you have a testimony that you want to do for the 27th, please let Don know, preferably today. Thank you. You are dismissed.